Welcome to the OVW Podcast, the unofficial podcast of Ohio Valley Wrestling. My name is Jackman Oaks.
And I'm Brian Hines.
Today we are getting into all the action from OVW Rise 1289, which emanated live originally from historic Davis Arena on April 25th, 2024. But first, a special announcement with or from, which one's the
correct? We'll all talk. It's not like y'all have to be quiet while I say it.
Oh, perfect.
But by the way, Brian, folks, my name is Tiny Brian.
Thank you, sir.
I am your executive producer, and I do have an announcement to make. We've been making oblique references to it for weeks now. I took the whole Bluegrass Homefront ad to sort of whisper weirdly into the microphone about it. We had a time clock video about it that we then weren't able to keep because of reasons. But now it's really real, it's really happening, and I can tell you that the OVW podcast team presents OVW Fan Zone, an official OVW fan reaction talk show featuring the stars of the OVW every Wednesday at 7.
And the stars of the OVW podcast, the unofficial podcast for Ohio Valley Wrestling.
I mean, we present it, so yeah, we'll be there. So we're still unofficial. This podcast is every bit as unofficial as it ever was.
And but Tiny Brian, can I ask you a question?
You sure can.
Would we be doing this other venture if it changed and altered our voices as far as how we cover OVW?
No, that was part of the thing, is we have to maintain the strong journalistic nonsense that we've maintained thus far.
Would that be the gonzo journalism?
That would be, yeah, a little bit gonzo, a little bit Fozzie Bear journalism.
I walked through a mile and a half of fucking Interstate Tennessee in PG-6. I walked through a mile and a half of FN Interstate on PG in Tennessee to do this. So yeah, that I think that I don't know which one that is, regular journalism or gonzo journalism, but we're doing one or the other.
So we'll do both. We'll alternate.
It'll be like that gif of the little girl that says, "Why not both?" And then everybody cheers, and then they all have tacos.
So we will hopefully
have on social media.
That's fine.
Well, you are a little bit on social media now.
Don't sell yourself short.
I do have an app.
You posted everything on Instagram, and then I put it in the fan zone to kind of give you that boost so that everybody at home who didn't make it to Nashville could see what fun you were having when your bus didn't break down.
And OVW Fan Zone is this entity that exists on Facebook, right?
Right. But thanks to let's give credit where credit is due. Give the man his flowers. Please. Thanks to Jason O'Hara.
Yes.
Jason O'Hara reached out to us early on, three, four months ago now.
Good to see you, buddy, too.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Sorry to hear about your car. He did hit a deer on the way home from the last show.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
No way.
It sucks.
Yeah, he said it's probably going to be June or July until he comes back.
But
everyone's okay.
Yeah,
they got home
safe.
Fine.
Okay.
But they're going to have to use my extra money to fix the car.
That's
instead
insane.
Of coming to see us. So.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry, Jason.
Yeah, that
hurts.
You and your family are the nicest three people. Like, some of the nicest three people. I don't want to say the nicest. I don't want to make your head too big. But some of the nicest three people that I've ever met. And, like, I'm so glad you're okay. But, like, that's insane. That's insane. He had a deer.
Yeah. You know, thanks to Jason, this fan zone got started. He mostly maintained it for the first 2 months or so. Most of the posts were his, and he was always worried that he was saying too many posts. And I will tell you now, Jason, you did fine. You said your posts were always great, and then we've got a lot more people kind of chiming in now. So guys, Fan Zone, this is for you. This is going to be your show. We're going to do our best to bring you information that you're interested in, both about OVW and promotions beyond OVW. Perhaps one's based in Connecticut. Others
are based, I guess, in Jackson.
We will probably get into some of the other ones. The two big names, obviously.
Yeah, from Jacksonville to Connecticut.
Ring of Honor, TNA Impact, or whatever's on the.
I only watch Stardom now.
So okay, well, that's
a lot of Stardom. A lot of Stardom coverage coming your way, guys. A lot of Joshi coming your way on the OVW podcast.
You know what? I think this calls for a toast.
Do you want to have one?
Well, I wasn't gonna, but in honor of our friend Jason.
Why don't you go ahead and get that while Jack?
I'll go ahead and
get this
going
into the front matter.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing too. I know Tiny Brian. I know when you love. I know you love when I make decisions here on the air. But
I do love when you produce for me live on the air. Yes,
Jason. I know you're going to be a big part of this thing that we're starting on Wednesday nights. You are Wednesday nights. There'd be no Wednesday if you didn't stick to it, really, to be honest, man. But, Jason, as soon as you get your car fixed, come on Wednesday night. Come on Wednesday night.
Sure.
We would love to have y'all. We'd love to have you and your family up here, man. Really.
I'm good. Thank you.
So where are we starting here?
Actually, no, I will take one. I'll actually come on camera in a second and drink with you guys.
Malachi? P.S.? Get off your Steam Deck.
Can you turn me up in the phones just a little bit?
You're not wearing headphones.
I feel like you're...
I was ready to go, and I will again here in a minute.
Okay.
I feel like we're on vacation right now.
Well, we do have this swank new studio.
No, I just meant everyone's yelling at each other, and we're all trying to get drinks in as quickly as possible.
Let's you and I talk through this, Jackman, while Brian is at the bar.
Please tag us in all of your posts that involve OVW Media or just like your sexy selfies at OVW Podcast on all of your social media.
And specifically OVW Live events if you attend a tour.
No selfies.
We can get selfies.
Okay, so I did do social media over the weekend. One thing I want to say is
this is probably as good a time as any if you want to just tell us the story of Nashville.
Yes. No, because I'm going to save that for Wednesday night.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to save that for
Wednesday
night. Oh,
I just realized we didn't actually say who's going to be our guest on Wednesday night. Our guests.
We have two big-time guests. You guys stick around to the end of the episode so that we can tell you who our guests are.
Okay, we got to remember. Make
hey,
a note.
That's the radio, baby.
Okay.
No, what was I? I'm so sorry. What was I saying? I don't even remember. I really don't. About all these OVW Live events.
Yeah, tag us in. Yeah, I'm coming for the drink. But
yeah,
when you go to those events, if you take a video, tag us in it. We may use it on the Fan Zone.
That's the thing. Yeah, I was in charge of the social media over the weekend, and it was insane to me to see what kind of reach out that we got, and insane to me to see like what kind of connectivity we got with all of our fans. But moving forward, that will only help us. More and more and more as you tag us across all social medias at OVWpodcast.com.
That will help me help you. Let us in.
What are we drinking? That rare character?
This is the Amber on a Cask.
Oh, one of my favorites.
Oh, yes.
One of my absolute favorites.
So I believe Malachi's going to try to just have his arm be in the shot, it looks like. So let's toast.
Hold, please.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Of you. Cheers to you, Jason.
Oh, wow, that is good.
It smells like Jason, bourbon's on us when you come up here.
It smells like work.
It does, unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of work.
So. Speaking of work.
Why don't we get back to podcast work?
Let's do it.
Ready, break.
Blue 72, Tiny Brian Hutt.
Hi, guys. I'm not really
Thursday,
supposed to be talking
May 2nd,
in this part.
OVW Double Cross is live from the Kentucky Debris Festival. Brian Hines, how do you get into the Kentucky Debris Festival?
The word on the street is that a Pegasus pin will get you in.
And that's Dave. That's recording this Thursday, but will be aired as a pay-per-view on Saturday. Right?
Is that the way that's working? I thought they were airing it live as a pay-per-view, unless you were watching it on the TV. I think you can watch it on the CW over the weekend.
Great, that's
but
cool.
If you're not, but like if you try to watch it on regular YouTube on Thursday, you'll have to pay. But I'm not fully certain.
I think what they're going to do is the commentary team is going to reenact the action in the ring with hand puppets.
I thought that's what we were doing Wednesdays.
We can also do that.
Oh,
as well.
On your guys' little show?
No. That's going to continue to happen. We're going to be covering Overdrive on Fridays with supervising producer Victor, who will also be supervising on Thursday at the. At Double Cross, he's coming with us.
Yeah, I'll be sure to wear my Sunday's best on Thursday. I was going to say some stuff, but I had such an exhausting weekend. I'm kind of, I don't really want to waste what's left of my energy on the person who pays all my bills, Victor Anderson. but catch me Friday morning. I'm sure I'll have, I bet we're riding all up there together. I bet I'll have tons of stuff to complain about.
Yeah.
I can barely spend 45 seconds around the guy, much less 45 minutes, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right, let's do a tour update. Oh, by the way, you'll notice we're not getting into the OVW news update, folks. That is actually going to move to Wednesdays. So you can get all the OVW news during OVW Fan Zone on Wednesdays now.
Yeah, and that will be 7 o'clock Eastern Time, Wednesday nights, OVW YouTube. Not mm-hmm. the OVW 6 o'clock podcast Central. Channel, but the official OVW channel. Right?
The unofficial podcast will be on the OVW official channel.
It blows my mind.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm having a little trouble driving the boat tonight.
It's fine. So they're going to be, let's just run through these. So new stuff that we know, notice that we have a date for the Country Boy show. May 24th in hey. Georgetown.
Big show for all of us in our hearts and in our minds.
It's we will always certainly a great be there. Time. Always a great time. Looking forward to it.
Augusta, Kentucky, that's the next day. That's the car show episode.
The classic car.
Yeah, the yes. classic car show.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Des Plaines, Illinois, which I'm pretty sure is close to Chicago. They seem to be calling out Chicago when they talk about that
it
show.
It appears to be in the greater Chicagoland area.
Longport, Indiana, which is in the neighborhood of Longport, Indiana, as far as I know.
Glad you cleared that
right,
up.
It's right across the bridge from Shortport.
Ah, yeah. Would make sense. Crestwood, Kentucky, I think is somewhere on the river out by Henderson, but I'm honestly not sure. Mount Sterling, Kentucky, I know where that is. That's up 64. That's going to be a wild one. We will probably be there for that one as well, just because Mount Sterling,
it's in our neighborhood.
We'll be among them. Yeah. As someone likes to say, we'll be among them.
As
I thought you said Imodium.
As far as that too. As far as like kind of more out of the beaten path shows, no offense to Mount Sterling. This is one I would love to attend.
The next one's a little less in the boonies. Las Vegas, Nevada on July 21st, 2024.
Yeah, you just have to get down the holler for it.
way down the holler for it. And then, of course, right now, the end of the summer is where we will be at Appalachian Wireless Arena in Pikeville, Kentucky for OVW Fight Night, August 31st. And I am excited for that show.
I want to see whether I can finagle my way out to Vegas.
Look, I don't have Vegas travel, Bunny. I barely have Mount Sterling travel money.
No. I'm not talking about you.
I'm
talking about me.
I'm going to tell you right now, don't take the Greyhound.
Oh, no, definitely not.
That's a tease for Wednesday.
Don't take the Greyhound.
No, you can get like
I've been going to bat for this company for so long. I've been like, oh, it's not that bad. No, yeah, sometimes it's a little rough. It's not that bad. These guys got me right up the keister. On
Jackman stays PG-13 film at 11.
They got me real good this entire effing weekend, and I got a lot to say. Listen,
Wednesday can't get here soon enough.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I really am. I've sent some emails. I know how to send some emails between my mom being a total Karen and coming from radio. I know how to send some emails. I think I might have a little traction on an actual, like, phone thing with Greyhound on Wednesday night.
That's funny.
In all honesty, I know I'm like 8 to 9 emails away from it, but I'm much further than I thought I ever would be. So,
so we're talking like a Greyhound representative calls into the show. Is that what we're saying?
That is where I'm trying to guide the conversation. Yes.
Okay, you were born for this. Okay, folks, I'm going to do the unthinkable, and I'm going to throw to myself. Jackman and Brian will have all of...
No, cut that, Malachi. Right after this, we'll have all the action from OVW Rise 1289 from originally recorded on April 25th, 2024, right after this.
Okay, folks, so very quickly, bluegrasshomefront.com, Bluegrass Homefront, wherever you get your podcast, check it out. But I am just going to take this moment to speak very clearly about OVW Fan Zone. We are very excited. We've been working on this for a very long time. I've been sort of phobic about talking about it before now. Just sort of, you know, a little bit waiting for the shoe to drop and them to say, no, we're not actually going to let you do this. But they seem to, nobody's come along and stopped us yet. So it looks like we're going to actually have to do this. So we're excited. It's going to be great. Also, check out Bluegrass Homefront at bluegrasshomefront.com. But we'll see you on Wednesday night. And now, back to Jackman and Brian with all the action from OVW Rise.
Take us away, Brian. Let's get a first. Oh, shit, we're back. Go.
Oh, yeah. Okay, bout number one features Troy Austin versus Carson Drake. Carson Drake strolls to the ring like he can buy and sell you 1,000 times over, talks about how awesome he is, you know, kind of goes on about how Troy Austin, he's going to, you know, do him a favor and give him the advantage right off of the bat.
Classic smarmy, real smarmy shit here.
Yeah,
let's talk about how he's dressed.
He's a real class ass. Yeah, dressed like he is the douchiest yacht owner in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah. Well, and he comes out completely, it looks like he has no intention of having a real match here.
No, it doesn't. I think
is worth noting as well. All right, so I don't want to get into my Nashville experience too much. My
yes,
entire vision of Carson Drake has changed.
Based on Nashville?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I finally got to see Carson Drake go. I am a huge fan now. I am the biggest fan now. And maybe I'm having a little like rose-tinted glasses reflection here as I look back at this Thursday night match, which, of course, I watched in Louisville before I even left for Nashville. And I was in Louisville for way too long. But there was something even about Carson here Thursday. And I don't know if it was present Thursday or if I recognized it more after seeing him Friday night, where I'm just like, man, I think this guy is actually getting to me. I think this guy is actually like making me, I think I might be converting a little bit.
Are you going to wear an ascot?
No, I just,
are you going to be a douchey yacht owner?
I could be. I just think that his character is finally there. I think that this version of Carson Drake is finally there.
It's not just the terrible haircut anymore.
Yeah.
But it did start with that.
It did start with that, but what was that, several months ago?
Yeah.
I mean, I started with a terrible haircut, too, several months ago, and look at me now. It's slightly less terrible, but I just look like someone's bisexual aunt. But but no, I mean, sometimes you have to have a couple bad haircuts before you get to who you actually are. And, man, like, maybe it's a little Friday night, maybe it's a little Thursday night, but Carson Drake is working for me right now. Carson Drake is working for me. Oh, also, I think it helps that he's no longer with Shalotse and Ari. So, like, I just don't, like, dislike him because I think he's holding, like, two of my favorite people back. Like, I think it's just, like, a conversion of all things.
That's a valid argument.
Yeah.
It's a little less. The stakes are lower, so you can kind of get on board.
Yeah, I think it's a conversion of all of these things at the same time.
Well, he did do the wrestling thing, which I found funny. You know, they started with him on all fours with Troy kind of wrapping around him. I don't know, wrestling's weird.
No, well, and I guess the story of this is that Carson either thinks through his influence or through his ring ability that he's going to be able to pay off or beat his opponent here, Mr. Troy Austin, quickly. And then Troy Austin throws him around for
he gives him a run for his money.
Yeah, he looked like a mechanical bull, and it looked like Carson Drake was the rider for a little bit. Like,
yeah, he wrestled Carson. He almost wrestled Carson Drake out of his shoes.
Yeah, no, and like, and
no, out of one, actually.
Out of one. What is it with these people and losing their shoes all the time?
But I think that's a great. If that was a mistake, if that was, well, no, I don't want to say mistake, but a happy mistake, to quote one of your big heroes, Mr. Bob Ross. Like, Carson without shoes on a couple weeks in a row is a great throwback. Like, If Carson, and like I'm starting to believe, man, maybe Carson is smart enough to take his shoe off before he takes, like, before he gets thrown out of rig, so that it's an instant throwback to the thing he did last week. I don't know, man.
Maybe he's gonna be shoeless Carson Drake.
I don't know. He'll have to lose all his Bitcoin money first, but there's some, like, I'm really liking Carson Drake, and I've probably always been a heel my entire life. But the longer this thing goes on, the more and more I fall into that world. And one of my biggest complaints at OVW, I can remember going to OVW before, and there's these two little shitheads. And that's PG-13. Come on, that's PG-13. There's these two little S-heads. And they would always only cheer for the heels. And now I'm slowly starting to see myself become the person that only supports the heels.
You always become the thing you hate.
Yeah. You live long enough to be a hero, or you die while a hero, or you live long enough to see yourself support the heels. Carson Drake takes some of the victory here. I did really, really like the story of this match, though. Carson Drake, a little arrogant. Troy Austin, someone with a lot to prove. Classic. Old school wrestling, right?
Right.
Cal Hero ends up at the end of the match here to beat Carson Drake up. We saw a sketch after this. I think that this plays into a narrative that you and I have been talking about since the beginning of Super Z. Is like, when is this stuff going to kind of start to crack its veneers, right? And I think that this might have been the first week for it. Super Z comes out, as he does, you know, great member of the community, great member of society, tries to help someone with their groceries out, and he's unable to carry and lift a, you know, 24-pack of water.
Well, that shit's heavy.
Well, but with Super Z, it is heavy. It is heavy. But Super Z, we've seen what Super Z can do.
Oh, yeah.
And in this past week, he wasn't able to transport this thing, and then he kind of runs off. And it lasts a really long time, which is like comedy that I like, where the joke is over, but the joke is that the joke's over. Like,
yeah. Well, he saw the Super Z signal.
Yeah, he did.
In the distance.
He takes off after it. But like, this is the first time we've seen Super Z portrayed as anything less than like completely spectacular. And I don't think that it's a coincidence that we saw him face the Nephilim last week.
And I don't think it's a coincidence that he had a match with a member of Dysfunction this week.
No.
Well, Dysfunction Junction, what's your function?
The Dysfunction, man. Those guys, we've been seeing those guys for a long time. Been seeing those guys since we started going.
We have.
Like, but it's very clear at this moment, especially after they added JPJ, like, I think that those guys got a little bit of a, as Jim Ross would say, a little bit of a push. They got a little bit of a push going. I mean, bro. Yeah.
Can you give me a, my God, King?
Not the Dippin' Dots. That's a later JR reference. Yeah. Have you ever heard that? Yeah. Have you ever seen? we'll delve into good JR deep cuts here for a second. Have you ever seen the one where he's like, "And ladies and gentlemen, for the 85th time, Creed."
Yes, I have seen that.
that's probably my all time favorite JR.
I was watching WWE in the Creed era. And they were everywhere for a couple years.
And JR, my sacrificed his integrity to get one step closer to the edge before he thought that he wanted to go higher.
Okay, enough naming Creed songs. Let's get back to the OVW. I know you're half asleep.
You're trying to shape me like I'm a piece of human clay, Tiny Brian. And I will for tonight, because I am so sleepy, I will accept your producing for the night.
Thank you.
I guess I'm just saying, to get back to it, this is going to be one of those. This is why we started recording on Sundays, guys, and not on Monday nights. Super Z's kind of losing. I think Super Z's losing his powers.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up, because when we were at Davis Arena, I wasn't able to hear what was going on. I was kind of talking to some folks, and that was what I thought happened in that video. Mm-hmm. I thought something happened and Super Z lost his powers, and the next thing I know, I look over, and he's just running towards the Super Z symbol ridiculously fast, like a toddler who has something that they shouldn't have, and you're trying to wrestle it from them.
Do you know what the Super Z vignette kind of reminded me of? Is like a scene from Workaholics.
I've had people tell me that show is good, but I've not actually seen the show.
It's first two seasons are fantastic. After that, you can give it up. But it's just like kind of like weird and like optimistic while everything is like falling apart. It kind of like nailed the tone of it and then just lasted way too long, which is also like a Workaholics thing, I think. I don't know. I bet ZDP's a Workaholics guy. That's all I'm saying. So bout number two here. Right before the bout. This is actually as we're walking in to Davis Arena.
Running late.
Yes. We hear this from the historic Davis Arena. It's this very distinct chant for this very distinct guy. We just hear Foley, 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 Foley.
As a producer, I thought people wanted me to actually do some Foley work, make, you know, sound effects of like horses running around.
That'll be tomorrow because we got some stuff to knock out before we... That wasn't that bad, was it?
That's why it was subtle.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
So on I guess Wednesday or Thursday night, I'm on like the OVW text chain, and you just get a text that morning that says something big is happening tonight.
Oh yeah.
Where did this?
It was the blanket text that OVW sends out the day of the show to sell more tickets.
That one. Okay.
Something
big is happening tonight. But I get them every week, and it was a little more like most of them are just like, come to Davis Arena tonight. I knew that something weird was going to happen because we're entering this like whirlwind phase for OVW over the next month, and that this text was so,
ominous.
Yeah, that's what I would like to say. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But I knew something was going to happen. Didn't expect it to be Foley.
No.
Maybe. Should have expected it, you know.
He had been booked there about a month ago, right before the big wrestling con that just was passed.
And he was great on commentary throughout this.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Stays for a couple matches and is basically saying he's back and he's going to be in and out. So
yeah, he was going to do a hardcore match for his 60th birthday. He has not been cleared to do that, so that match is off the table. But since even though he can't wrestle, he still likes hanging out at Davis Arena because you know, maybe,
it's awesome
maybe
there.
The wrestling's good, maybe the fans are awesome. I'm a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B. But either way, Mick Foley likes us.
Mick Foley enjoys OVW quite a bit.
Almost as much as we do.
Even listening to his commentary, it's clear he knows what's going on. And, of course, it's Mick Foley. It's one of the greatest wrestling minds of all time. So he's going to know what's going on. He's going to be able to walk into a situation and realize what's going on. But, like, the enthusiasm on commentary and just, like, how committed he has been to the product. When you get somebody like Mick Foley committed to OVW, that's great. Like, that's amazing. Just Mick Foley showing up unannounced, not on the card, not on the poster, to do a little commentary. That's what OVW needs right now.
Well, it's not just him coming in to hang out on commentary because he was just in our neck of the woods and wanted to say hi. Wolfle, what was up with that? Did you catch that?
I don't.
Because there's nothing in the notes. And I heard part of it, but I didn't catch it. All and I didn't.
I may have missed that when I was doing notes.
But he will be back in 2 weeks, and he's looking for your signs and support. I believe that's his. It's his dog.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that was the one that he had talked about previously.
So since he's been going to be in and out, I do. My producer's brain has now decided that it is necessary for us to talk to him.
Speaking of in and out, this past weekend at PG-13.
Speaking of In-N-Out, have you ever had like a double like cheeseburger from there in one of the shakes?
I've actually never been.
Oh my
god!
Okay,
so once
that's why I'm talking about going to Vegas.
Okay, so once Mick Foley enters, Shearer comes out.
Yes,
I'm gonna keep you guys on the rails. And he's pissed because...
And in the crowd here, while we're sitting in the crowd, like, Shira, this is a very, very... The crowd is behind this promo.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Oh, behind Shira.
Big time.
Yeah.
And Shira is so effing intense.
Mm-hmm.
That...
Fintense.
Like, it's easy to keep up with him whenever he's cutting a promo like this.
Mm-hmm.
And being in a crowd for a Shira promo is like that's kind of what like wrestling's about, right? It's just like the entire crowd is behind this guy. There's no cynics. There's no assholes like me booing him, even though
I cheered him.
For the other team. I cheered for the other team. I didn't boo Shira. That's better than booing him. But you know, like Shira here, this is like why people at OVW love Shira is a promo like this.
Absolutely, it was a very powerful promo. People at OVW love Shira for stuff like this, but they also love him because he loves his car.
A couple of things here as we kind of, I know we're biting time, Tyler Bride. Beaches and Cream come to the ring. This was the single best Linda Kay segment since she's been on commentary in OVW. And it might be because of what happened last week, but it was palpable in her commentary, and she was really, really – not that she's not good every week, but this was the single best Linda Kay performance on commentary during this kind of Shira Beaches and Cream segment here. I totally believe that. Totally believe that. Willing to stand by that. Of all people, Jesse Godders ends up coming to the ring to make the save with Shira, and it ends up being a sanctioned – tag team match.
Yeah.
The team of Shira versus Jesse, Shira and Jesse Godders versus Beaches and Cream here. Did not see that coming.
No. And we even had a heads up that there were going to be some people returning on Thursday.
But you get Foley to open the segment, and then you get in the middle of the segment, Jesse Godders, one of the biggest, depends on which side he is, but one of the biggest performers in OVW. Like, current day or maybe all time.
So if they're a tag team, what's their name? Because I'm going with Liontacular.
I don't.
Golden Pecs.
There's no way that it's going to be anything worse than anything that any tag team in OVW has ever been called. I'll tell you that. Like in OVW, as far as OVW tag teams names go, we're starting at the bottom and working our way up no matter where. So sorry. That's maybe why they don't have much of a male tag team division at the moment. It's because nobody wants to buy the merch. I don't know. Nobody likes the teams. I don't know. Anyway.
Naming is hard.
Shira and Jesse Godders here. I do think that it's important that Jesse came out. I do think it was time to see Jesse again. And I do think that Jesse, you can't miss you if you don't go anywhere. I think I miss Jesse Godders.
Can we talk about the fact that Jesse walked his behind to the ring?
This is something that we talked about when he was a more regular attendee.
Part of the show.
Part of the show, yeah. Where Jesse Godders, the heel, is on the segue. Jesse Godders, the babyface, walks, triumphant walk, right down the middle of the aisleway, right to the ring.
Not always, though. I mean, yeah, he tried
here,
to be a baby.
But,
yeah.
But here. And I think that's an important distinction. I think that's very important to note.
Yeah, heels take wacky contraptions to the ring.
I barely ever text, like, before the shows because I kind of like us to go kind of freestyle. And maybe that's a problem. Maybe we should text more before the shows. But that's a different conversation for a different day. I did text you earlier today, Brian Hines. And yes. I said, I think that it looks like Jesse Godders has come back into the fold here to build a War Games-esque team to take on the Overman.
Yeah.
Like a 5v5.
That hadn't occurred to me until you said it. And then once you said it, I kind of thought about it. And like,
so the last time.
You might be onto something.
One of the last times we saw Jesse Godders, if not the very last time we saw Jesse Godders, he aligned with Luke Curtis out of nowhere.
Yeah.
This time, the first time we've seen him in months, he aligned with Shira out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them are former members, or all three of those men, rather, are former members of the faction
mm-hmm.
that kind of transformed into the Overmen.
Yep.
You think we could see a faction reunion?
I think we're going to see, no, because they'll call it something different because they'll, like, they can sell more t-shirts that way. But I think that, yes, the faction reunion of sorts, I think, is where we're at in 6 months from now.
But just not.
Not the faction. Well, baby, a baby face version. Luke, Pectacular, She-Ra.
A returning cash flow?
No, because I think when cash flow gets back, you just float him back in there into whatever you need him to do. He doesn't actually have to be with She-Ra again comes back. And then whenever they reunite because of whatever thing happens, maybe the way to do it is you have Cash come in at like some big epic moment and save She-Ra specifically from,
like, the Hosea thing at last year's big one.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, by no means do you have to instantly reunite Cash and She-Ra. I just think that, like, we're building something, or could possibly be building something, to dismantle the Overman.
Yeah. And it, like, would the opposite of the Overman, like the Nowhere Man or the Highwayman or something.
How about the fact that we only really see Adam Revolver these days?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. He's the tag team champion, but, like, that's why there's no tag team division. We don't even see his
partner.
His partner. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And they flip-flopped that thing so far, so many times in the past with Adam Revolver and Joe Maguire, Adam Revolver and that. So, like, or that's Luke probably what we'll do. Yeah, or Luke, this, Luke, that. The Overmen Y and Overman X, like, so many times. So, like, that's what they'll end up doing again, probably. But, yeah, right now there is no tag team division to speak of.
Not so much at current.
But Beaches and Cream do get the win.
But
yes, they do.
Back to what I was saying, they will, if that's the direction they go, they will literally be able to build the ex-Overman, like, the anti-Overman with ex-members of the faction.
Right.
And that'll be great.
Yeah, if it happens, I will enjoy it.
So, about three of the night here. Main event of hour one.
This might have been the most entertaining match of the night. It was a triple threat match. Dustin Jackson versus Orion versus the Iron Demon, Shane Mercer.
Behind, say it with me. If you only watch one match from this episode, this is the match.
This is the match.
Yes.
Yeah, we did it. Go go Unity.
No, seriously. Even in the arena, this thing was boiling over like a fifth grade fucking science experiment, man. That's the first time I said it.
No, it's the third.
Hans is taking notes.
Hey. I've got to borrow a Dove with your name on it, kid. Now straighten up.
Like, yeah, mom. like that scares me. Like, yeah.
He's very clearly daddy. Like, that's what, like, I keep hearing.
Yeah, daddy. Like I ain't eaten 8 bars of Dove in my life.
Just the one.
All right. Dustin Jackson, Orion, Shane Mercer. What a match.
Yeah, this was something. The combo in the middle where let me check my notes here, where
it was a slobber knocker king.
It was the Iron Demon kind of threw Orion into Dustin Jackson, and then he kind of spun around, and Orion kind of speared Shane Mercer. Like, that whole sequence was, like, just probably the most impressive thing I saw all night.
I got the opportunity to see two great OVW matches back-to-back. And this was between two nights of matches, my favorite match. I might be speaking a little out of school here. I really think that if OVW or anyone else, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, this was an Orion match.
Oh, yeah. I would have said it's a Shane Mercer match.
No. Orion put this together. Orion was calling what happened, I think. Like, it just, there was just something so breakneck yet so cerebral about this match that I feel like Orion was the one putting it together. Did Shane Mercer probably look the best out of it? Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah.
But you mean Orion was the one who actually orchestrated this?
And I've had this theory, and like, man, I don't know. I don't fall on my back. I don't know shit. But I've had this theory for a little bit about Orion, that like he's probably the best like bell to bell ring general in OVW right now. And I don't know if he's had any better what do they call it, a conductor?
Canvas?
Like, I don't know if he's had any better conductoral performance than he did tonight.
Well, it was a great match. It was awesome to see in person.
It certainly was.
Main event hour one. Well, I guess main event hour one is the match, but last segment's the main event, as always, right?
Well, I mean, but before we get ahead of ourselves, Iron Demon, Shane Mercer, comes away with the victory, although it was kind of accidentally Orion's fault.
It was.
Yeah, which was an interesting way for that to kind of resolve itself. I didn't see that, but we kind of got the moonsault and battery vibe without actually getting everything that we thought we were going to get.
I'm really glad that you mentioned that. I'm really sorry. Like, I've had like 22 hours of sleep in 5 days.
You got in the town at like 9:30 this morning, came straight to work.
No, I got into town at 9:58. I clocked in at 9:59.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So you literally got into town 2 minutes before work, managed to get to work 1 minute early, left straight from here, went and did your radio show, and went straight from your radio show back here into the studio. That's dedication,
folks.
I had about
an hour and 15 so that I could finish the episode so that I could come in and talk to you.
Which still counts as working.
Hasn't done me very much good, apparently.
No.
We'll get you through.
Yeah, I'm really sorry, Garth. I'm really, really sorry.
There's nothing to apologize for.
That is some Iron Man. That's some Iron Man stuff, right?
Tiny
there.
And regular size Brian will get you through, man.
I think that
you're tiny Brian.
I think
I'm giant
the episode
Brian.
You are giant Brian.
The episode that I came in with the concussion has been wholly better than this, I think.
The episode on
being able to do
way
that was impressive.
Yo,
the handheld episode was. I don't know. That was kind of like
it's like camping.
Yeah, or like, you know, being at the house, but there's no power, and you're kind of there, and you have some of the amenities of and creature comforts of home, but not quite.
So the contract signing ends.
I do think that Shane Mercer needed to win that last match, by the way.
He did. So you got that the way it happened. The contract signing goes down, and then Jack Vaughn comes in to tassel with Jay De Niro.
Something you
which
called
we,
last
yeah.
week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember when that happened. I was at the Country Boy booth, and I saw you up in the corner, and I looked at you and just kind of mouthed the words, told ya, and you just kind of shook your head.
Yeah, we will be going through our predictions that you guys made on our impromptu live stream last Wednesday.
I'm actually really happy to do that. Like, very excited to do that.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
And like I said, I even told you that night, like, was it the right move booking-wise, what they did to have Jack Vaughn come out? Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I just, like, I have this idea of letting the belt exist by itself. And, I don't know. I have a different booking philosophy if I ever booked a show. I've never booked a fucking show. So, but, like, if
it's fine.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by Soft Soap. Minty and delicious.
All right, let's let Jack run off the hook. He's having extenuating circumstances tonight.
I'm trying my best, guys.
So yes, they do set a tag team match, and Jackman had mixed feelings about it on the night.
It was the right thing to do, like I said, but like I just really like the visual of the champion always having the championship by himself without a former champion around, especially someone like Luke Curtis that's like younger and like new to the scene. Like, let me just see this guy prove himself as a champion. I don't need him being aligned with former champions. And, like, that's just it's a different philosophy than OVW's philosophy. That's all.
And a lot of wrestling's philosophy, seems like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Brian, take us to the second hour.
To be fair, that's fair.
So, bout number four in hour two.
Did we say that they booked a tag team?
Yes, they did. Okay. That'll be our main event.
The final event of the evening ends up being a tag team match between Superior Tony Evans and Jay De Niro versus Certified Luke Curtis and the veteran Jack Vaughn, which rounds up our coverage for the evening. But until we get to that, bout four is Super Z with coming to the ring and having a match with Dysfunction's own Kyle Roberts.
Kyle Roberts is a super nice guy.
Yeah.
Always.
Dysfunction is a weird faction because I expect them to be, like, you know, mean and, you know, beating people up and, you know, a heel. But they just wear masks and want people to join them. They're like
a little Dark Order-y. Like, and that's fine because Dark Order are great and Dysfunction. Dysfunction is serving a really great purpose that I think OVW kind of needs right now. Is like silly but menacing, but also doesn't know that they're silly, doesn't actually know how menacing they are either. Like, yeah, I think that Dysfunction is doing a really good
thing. A second ago when you guys were talking, it occurred to me who they remind me of, and then I lost it. I'll have to keep thinking while we're talking about this match, because I came up with a direct comparison to whoever, and in my head it's like, okay, that totally explains it, and I'll have to circle back around and see whether I can remember.
Let's talk about this match while you think. This is hilarious.
Yeah.
This is, they're very seldom do I find a wrestling match. I find them interesting. I find them exciting. This one was downright funny from start to finish.
Well, and we had kind of touched on this earlier about the Super Z thing with the bottled water and like kind of like the Nephilim. Kind of seemed like none of that affected Super Z tonight against Kyle Roberts.
Yeah.
No, not at all. He was just as superific as he ever was in the ring. Even hit him with the. Let's see.
The Zoltan.
Is that it? Or is it that?
Yeah.
I guess it depends.
Yeah, it depends on yeah.
So if you're facing somebody else, then you give them the Z because it's backwards to you, right?
I would imagine.
Like if you're going to do the OVW sign, you do it like this. So the person across from you can read it. You get the O, and then you get the V, and then you get the W over here. You don't do it the other way because then you're just doing it for your own sake, and that's just kind of pointless. Yeah. All right, then.
Well, there's lots of things you can do for your own sake.
You can dance if you want to.
And sometimes
you can leave your friends behind.
Sometimes they're pointless, and sometimes they're not. It just depends what kind of mood you're in.
And Super Z gets the win here again.
He does.
My notes say otherwise, so it's a bad week for all of us in various ways. But Super Z
remains undefeated.
Yes, he does.
Big time. Doesn't seem like the Super Z momentum is going to slow down anytime soon.
Not anytime soon. If anything, I think it's just going to keep building and building. And because you failed in your notes, I am going to have to fine you as far as that goes. It's not a $10,000 fine like you put your hands on the referees in the OVW, mind you, but there are penalties for these things.
Okay. I will get my wallet.
All right.
About 50 kids roaming around as various superheroes this week now.
I tried to get some pictures because that's the best part of a Super Z match outside of Super Z himself. It's the enthusiasm and the wide-eyed anticipation and eagerness for all of these kids who are dressed up like superheroes. And when he comes out, like, you've got like dads holding their kids up in the air like it's the Lion King, except for they're all like, you know, planking in costume. And I mean, he went around and you know, shook hands with all the kids and high fives and all that, and every single person there just absolutely loved it.
Myself included. Up and next, the comedy continued.
Because up next was a sketch where we see my favorite tag team, Aria Alexander and Shalansi Royal, or whatever they are. And no joke,
they're a pair.
My two favorite performers, they are a pair. We don't know what the tag team situation is like as of right now, but they're a pair. They have been bonded through trauma, so to speak, and as everyone in wrestling is. And they're walking through, and Carson Drake kind of interrupts them walking through, and he's like partially naked because I think
he's wearing only a towel.
I think he got his clothes stolen earlier in the night, and he's kind of trying to convince Shalansi and Ari that they should help him interfere in his match, I guess, that we're going to go see on Thursday.
Against Cal for the media championship.
Right.
And they go back and forth. There's a, I would say, tentative at best agreement that they...
They'll think about it, little guy. They'll think about it. I believe that was Ari's words.
Yeah, then, that's like saying maybe and knowing full well that the answer is no.
That's like saying, that's like sending a text that said, oh, sorry, I fell asleep. But they pull, she ends up getting a little comeuppance. Ari,
she takes his towel.
Ari and Chalance, by extension, gets a little comeuppance by exposing a little tiny Drake.
Apparently. And we don't get to see it. It is, this is network TV.
That's the theater of the mind.
It's heavily suggested by Ari and Chalance that it's a little tiny Drake.
Then the veteran Jack
Vaughn.
Who says, what did he say? I missed that part.
He says, about what I expected.
Okay, because I didn't catch any of this at Davis Arena, and now that we went back, I saw it, and now I was able to hear it.
And then
stuff.
Super Z Pop is in the room with Carson, apparently. He pops the door open so we can see him.
He comes from behind Carson
in the room.
So,
yeah.
Supposedly in Carson Drake's dressing room for whatever reason.
Well, maybe it's the men's dressing room.
There were
generally
bad guys that needed to be put in their place or roughed up or something. I don't know. Super Z was
Super
doing.
Z pops out, takes a
he
glance,
finally,
and
he finally got that case of water back there is actually what it was.
And he pronounces Carson Drake super small.
Yeah, so Carson and Drake in kayfabe and in real life has a tiny dick. And
basically they're saying he has a teeny weeny peeny.
But because it's wrestling, we did predictions last week.
I didn't predict that.
Out of 10, I did. I actually knew it as a fact. Don't ask me why. But out of 10, do Chalance and Ari help Carson Drake interfere on Thursday?
That's a question for the Wednesday night show.
So we are just going to have to shut that shit right out.
Yeah, we will. We will do that. We will do that during our predictions for Double Cross.
Damn.
I mean, if you want to do this one as a tease, I guess we can do.
Listen. There's going to be some crossover. Brian Hines, out of 10.
The chances of them helping him,
yes,
coming to the ring to aid Carson Drake.
Yes.
-2.
All right. I like it.
I think there's a good chance they come to the ring. I think there's no chance they help him when they come to the ring.
That's what I'm going after.
I also want to note this as, probably the beginning of people liking Carson Drake in OVW.
Now that we're laughing at him?
Yes. We finally gotten to the point where we're laughing at him, and it's give it a little bit of time. It's going to come. He's gonna be so good at it.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna be so good at it. On Wednesday night on YouTube, I'll get more into my thoughts on Carson Drake. Now that I think would describe what I saw as Carson Drake without the leash on, but I think that they got a star on their hands.
Oh, I know so.
Well,
I told you that from the beginning.
Professional wrestling.
You absolutely did.
What we're seeing in OVW is not the same as what I saw in Southern Ohio over the course of the last 4 years. I mean, outside of that character, which the character work itself is very, very good, very strong, and far as that goes, but he can go in the ring. He can really throw down.
Seeing him wrestle, I'll say this and we'll move on. I feel like his heel work right now, it's getting good, but I also feel like he's nearing his final of heel 101 right now.
Right. You think he's ready for the next level?
Yeah. I'm richer than you. I'm prettier than you. I get more girls than you. I dress better than you.
I'm good enough.
And now
he's smart enough.
And gosh darn it,
people like me.
But now he's been demolished. Now he's been brought down. He's lost everything. He's been made very small.
Mm-hmm.
And
now he can grow.
Micro.
Yeah. Man.
So he's more of a grower, not a shower.
Carson Drake showed me a lot over the weekend, and I only had to pay for some of it.
Okay.
Um,
let's move along. Our next Brian, what's our next match?
Our next match was a conflict for you, I would imagine, Jackman.
It was. You guys both looked at me.
Yeah, as soon as these people came out, we both looked at you like, where you at on this one, man? Bout 5 is our close personal friend of the show, the man with the best stories so far.
The Rican sensation. Tall glass of milk.
Maximo Suave versus the future Will Austin.
The man that you have recklessly told OVW to push.
So it's, I'll be honest.
Effing.
I effing love Maximo, and I effing love Maximo when he comes out, and I was effing ready to love Maximo when he effing came out to the ring that night.
Effing ain't right, man.
But then when I effing saw Will Austin, there was no contest, baby. I was on the Will Austin train.
That went right out the effing window.
It went right. I defenestrated any concept that I might support Maximo, and effing supported effing Will Austin.
I still support Maximo.
Future. Like, I don't know. I love Will Austin. And, like, to be honest, let me manage Will Austin.
Yeah.
Let's get Wednesday done first.
He's serious about this, folks.
This is Wednesday's this week. This is years long. Mm-hmm. Let me manage Will Austin. I want to manage Will Austin.
So if you manage Will Austin, I want to manage you managing Will Austin.
You'll have to.
Okay, yeah.
I see me coming along behind. Like,
yeah, you'll be behind us with, like, the boom mic and the headphones, trying to record this and produce it live. While
Tiny will be like, where did this small container of flies' wings come from?
Oh, no. I feel like I'm losing control here, folks. No,
I just want to, like...
But did you ever really have it?
I don't think so.
I think I've got it. Like, I really do. I really think I could do it. I really think me and Will Austin could do a thing.
Well, that'd be fun.
I'm going to speak it into existence.
He is still completely obsessed with figure fours.
Yeah, so am I.
Well, yeah.
So,
I mean, I was too.
Completely obsessed with going, like, way after the bell rang, completely obsessed with, like, just terrorizing his opponents, completely obsessed with terrorizing Maximo here. Like, nah, let me manage Will Austin.
I was happy to see Maximo come out, as always. I love seeing Maximo work.
Dude, too.
And then Will came out, and it was like,
oh, no. Maximo has bad legs anyway. This is going to be a problem.
It's probably not going to work out.
Maximo was really good both nights I saw him. Like, Maximo...
is always a fine worker.
Yeah. But like I kind of said earlier, I think off mic, like, that show in Nashville... Getting to see these guys able to breathe a little bit more. No one benefited more from that than Maximo.
Good. Excellent. Can't wait to hear about it more.
Seriously. Will Austin here. Figure fours the shit out of Maximo. Star Rider tries to help. He ends up getting figure fored as well. I love the descent into depravity of Will Austin here. Love it.
Like, pushed him over the edge.
Let me manage him.
He was like the Oprah of the figure four on Thursday, and you get a figure four, and you get a figure four, and you get a figure four.
All right, so I come out leather jacket, right?
Save this for some other time.
Got to have like some really dark shades too, not like sure. Aviators either.
No, I'm gonna kind of go like you know, Anita from FMW. I'm gonna try to channel little Anita from FMW on that.
I was thinking maybe like some WCW 96-97 era Eric Bischoff.
So
I like that too.
I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So Tony Evans yells at the hammer,
as he often does.
He's gonna win.
He says to hush.
Doesn't that just kind of cover the whole sketch? Tony Evans yells at the camera.
That's all I was gonna say about it. And then we get a women's match.
Yes, and this one features Layla Gray with Company into the Ring by the Bad Girls Club and their money guns.
Yeah, they are getting a lot of use out of those.
Oh, I love those things. And she is facing Lady Bird, who has Freya, Sophia, and
Haley.
And Haley to support her.
It's just a nightmare. I mean,
it was total bedlam.
It was bedlam.
It really reminds me of, like, the Dusty Rhodes era of, like, WCW booking, where he's just like, here's the heels, and here's the baby faces, and they all hate each other, and they all just are always around each other all the time. And that's not me being, complaining at all, But, like, it is, it just reminds me so much of that for some reason. It reminds me of, like, 80, 87, like, Dusty Rhodes era WCW. Like, I liked it a lot, though. Everyone.
Yeah, they threw him out. They came back.
Which is total yeah. Dusty as well. Yeah. Like,
you can't suppress us?
Yeah, so everyone gets thrown out. Everyone other than the main two competitors, Layla Gray and Lady Bird, get thrown out. They all end up coming out. This is kind of very plainly reminiscent of the ebb and flow of this storyline right now,
mm-hmm.
where it's like the story's hot.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody wants to see it, but I don't know how they progressed it, really.
Just more beatings.
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I mean, these guys hate each other. They still hate each other.
I don't know what tactical thing that they've done to progress it. I don't know what, like, really super smart decision they've made to progress it.
Don't know that it's necessary.
The only level of, like, intrigue they've really added to it was last week, and I guess this week, that the Bad Girls Club seemed to be more collaborative than they have been weeks prior. But, like, as you just said, sometimes it doesn't need all that shit.
No, just get some people who are good in the ring together and let them be in the ring. That's the whole point of OVW sometimes.
Well, and the whole point of wrestling, like, there's no better place to be in wrestling than the only thing that you have to do to sell tickets is throw people out there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to wrestle a great match. They don't have to cut a great promo. They could just be present, and people are like, I want to see more of that. Like, that's actually like the dream. Everyone says, oh, no, you know, you got to work smarter, not harder. Working smarter, not harder in wrestling is not working at all. Like, and that's what these, like, that's kind of what.
My Uncle Scrooge used to say that.
Like, that's kind of what different parts of this angle have been able to do. Throughout this entire angle, though, Lady Bird.
Has definitely been the star of the show.
And I looked into her a little bit over the weekend and kind of saw where she'd come from and what she's currently doing. To be honest with you, I think Sophia Rose is the right star for OVW. I'm a little confused sometimes why Lady Bird isn't the star. Like, especially after I sat down and watched some Lady Bird matches, I sat and read about her. I had nothing better to do other than be on my phone. Like, Sophia Rose is the right star for OVW, but Lady Bird is a star in and of herself. Like, not well. To get back, I guess, kind of to what we were saying, like, the point of this match is you don't have to progress things because everyone in this storyline is a star.
Yeah, we're just all in, and yeah. Ooh, yeah. Look at that combination. Ooh, look at that combination. Yeah, we can just do it all night. I cannot wait for this match.
I don't know what will happen, and I can't wait to see what will happen. And that's like as a fan, that's what wrestling bookers should be trying to get. They should be trying to make you say those two things more often than you're not. I don't know what's going to happen, but I can't wait to see what's going to happen.
Layla comes up with the win on this one.
I kind of feel like.
Of course. Had to.
This women's tag match on Thursday. I kind of feel like there is going to be a big double cross in this. I mean, at some right there point there is. It's right there in the name. But I kind of feel like something that we don't see coming right now is going to happen in this match, and I don't know what it is. I have one idea, and I hope that's not it. So I'm not going to speak it into existence.
I've got two. I've got two guesses. You want to do this at the end, or you want me to do it right now?
I
want to
do it on Wednesday.
Okay. All right.
Let's move on.
Okay.
As you said, Tiny Brian, Layla takes the victory here.
Curtis and Vaughn have a little chat.
Yeah.
They basically agree, hey, we know we've had our differences throughout our time together, but tonight in the main event of the evening, we will work together as a toward our common cause. That being Luke Curtis wanting to get after Superior Tony Evans, and Jack Vaughn wanted to get his hands on Jay Daddy De Niro.
Yep.
Penultimate match of the evening, bout 7, Brian Hines.
That is Flawless Jake Lawless versus OVW Media Champion Cal Hero.
You want me to just say the line? You want me to just do my line?
Yeah.
Nepotism, Cal Hero wins. We did get to talk to Jake Lawless after this.
Briefly, and we're going to try to bring him on the show real soon.
Yeah, I looking forward to it. I missed out on that, so there we are.
What a very obviously genuine and authentic young man, Jake Lawless's. Like, in the 15 seconds I talked to him.
Yeah.
A very, very genuine, authentic young man. And, man, there's been less there's been few people that have been more impressive, I guess is the best way to say it, than Jake Lawless in his time back at OVW.
Yeah.
And with this Cal Hero match, I mean, Cal's super-duper capable. Jake Lawless is super-duper hungry. Cal Hero takes home the victory, though. That's what we do. Behinds, Rise main event, bout 8 of the night.
Superior Tony Evans, Jaden Nero versus Luke Curtis, Jack Vaughn. Loaded baked potato glove to Curtis leads to the loss.
Yeah.
Tony Evans and Jaden Nero take the win, surprisingly.
Well, I mean, I guess so.
kind of not.
Kind of not. I think that it was kind of time maybe to see a visual loss for Luke in his
without actually losing the title.
Right. Like,
or even losing in a singles match.
Right, but just to have a L in his column. Mm-hmm. I think it was about that time because he is such a fresh new champion. And on your guys' little show, what's it called? With
the Overdrive show, yeah.
With Purse Man.
Yes.
Victor. Yeah. Big Boss Man. Not that one. But you guys touch on a really, and I hate to give him any credit for this, but you touch on a really good thing and a really true thing that OVW is doing right now with Luke Curtis and his title run, where we're going to see what kind of champion he is, because we're going to see him in what every single kind of different match we can see him in. This was, as you rightfully pointed out to me, as much as I didn't want to see a former champion, at least another former champion, babyface around that title, you touched on it rightly. This was the week for Luke to team with a former champion. They made Jack Vaughn a babyface at the perfect time to come in and be the person that teams with Luke Curtis. And as much as, you know, as much as, like, maybe I didn't want to see it, it was the right time to see it, and it was the right time to have, like, the idea that Luke Curtis could lose. And that's what we saw, both of those in this match. Go watch the OVW Overdrive and OVW Rise run of Luke Curtis so far.
He's been a great five or six matches.
He's been amazing. He's been really amazing. I guess, though, the most important thing that happens during this match is probably the end.
It's after it, yeah.
Yeah, and that is when EC3 makes his return, a night of returns here on OVW. EC3 makes his return to OVW, and Behinds, you know this about me. I love comically small special guest referee shirts.
Yeah, this was right up your alley.
I needed it to be a little smaller, but the idea of super buff ripped EC3 coming out in a comically small shirt, I will never complain about. Not only that, this was the best EC3 promo maybe in his time in OVW.
True.
And
Short.
We could hear him.
That was a nice consideration.
It was pointed. It was direct. It mattered. It did not linger. Like, this was probably the best EC3 promo that we've seen as a podcast in his time at OVW. Not only that, but I know we're not talking too much about what I saw in Nashville. I saw a different EC3 in Nashville.
Well, I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah. I saw a different EC3 in Nashville. I think that a little bit of time away, kind of like we saw talked about Jesse Godders earlier, a little bit of time away of OVW has done EC3 a lot of good in his standing in OVW, man. I am super excited about that special guest referee spot and what happens afterwards. I'm more excited now to see EC3 than I have been ever.
Maybe, interesting.
Maybe since he was TNA World Champion. Like, maybe that long. I don't know. Take it away. 1, 2, 3. You and Daniel Spencer it?
Nah, you go ahead.
Gotcha. The OVW podcast, the award-nominated unofficial podcast of Ohio Valley Wrestling, is produced by Blacklight Moon Productions at Nut House Studios in Lexington, Kentucky. The OVW podcast broadcast team is Jackman Oaks and Brian Hines. Our studio engineer and editor is Malachi P.S. Woodard. Executive producer is Tiny Brian K. Woodard. Senior producer for The Blimp is Victor Anderson. On Wednesday night, catch the OVW podcast team as we host OVW Fan Zone. That is our brand new show that we hope turns out well.
Oh, with our first guest.
No,
save it for Wednesday.
Tune in on Wednesday.
It's going to be on social media tomorrow.
Yeah. So tune in on social media.
We said that it would tease them at the end, so we ought to live up to our promise.
We've got two really good guests. You guys know them. They've been here before. They've been here before, never together.
They came the same day, but they were never on. The interviews were separate.
Yeah, but they've never been on mic together. So that might shine of – they got engaged in Nashville.
They both have champions.
They're both champions in OVW right now. That might shine a little bit of light on who it is. But I think you're 100% right. I think let's just – what a strong first shot for that Wednesday night show.
The two of them.
Yeah.
First thing people see, right? That would be crazy. Senior producer for The Blimp is Victor Anderson. After watching Wrestlers on Netflix, visit OVWpodcast.com/podcasters to find all episodes of our unofficial Wrestlers After Show. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Rate us 5 stars and give us a review. You can also follow us at OVW Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, X, TikTok, Threads, and all the way to the Davis Arena. Love you guys.
Have a good night.